shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Tell me some of the things that you revealed that you think people found surprising.
I'm not going to vote for health care reform that either.
He doesn't live in the district. Dede Scozza father,
Emily
Stowe. Weatherford, Texas.
You have been tweeting me.
My butt would be wrong. You don't see the
faces. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And every night, of course, we bring that to you via great affiliates across the country, courageous broadcasters that carry our show, as well as our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch live streaming video of the show and also listen to live streaming audio of the show. And as we like to say, the people that carry this show, our great affiliates all over America, are, let me tell you what, they're like on the, they're on the spearhead of where spoken word talk radio is headed. It ain't going where you think it's going. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And also, you can tweet us at twitter.com, or you can Twitter us at tweet.com. What the hell is it?
Yeah, it's Twitter. It's tweet. It's tweet. It's tweet. It's tweet.
No, I got it. It's twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. It's tweet.
Well, you know, you tweet. Yeah, you tweet.
Okay, you tweet, but you got to go to Twitter to tweet, right?
What? What are you talking about, man?
Don't you got to go to Twitter to tweet?
You got to tweet. But yeah, you go to Twitter, or I mean...
Twitter to tweet.
I don't... Man, you sound like some kind of... Dude, you're jacked up.
Yeah, see, what you got to do...
No, I know what it is. It's twitter.com/PhilHendry, and you can tweet. You don't go to Twitter. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous go to Twitter. And you can go to also go to facebook.com/PhilHendry. Although Facebook is beginning to really wear on my nerves and on my, it's just fraying on my nerves. And I, forgive me for saying this, but it, when it comes to Facebook and Twitter, Twitter, in terms of intelligent conversation, is light years beyond Facebook. I'm sorry to have to say that. I mean, I talk to a lot of great people on Facebook, don't get me wrong, but there are some of the most unbelievably clueless human beings in the history of man on this planet over at Face Stinkin' Book. So I got a little word of advice for you guys that run Facebook. Number one, first of all, fix your stupid site, okay? And don't have some dork tell you, hey, here's a really great idea. Let's have another application called Put Your Lips on This. Okay, we don't need any more of that. We don't need another application that tells us how to, you know, you have been, someone has yanked you. We don't need that. And if people like the news feed, let them have the news feed the way they like the news feed, and you don't have to fix it, okay? Just because you pay a bunch of dorks to sit around and think up stuff doesn't mean the stuff they're thinking up has anything to do with human beings on the planet Earth. As far as you guys at Twitter, you're doing a great job. All right, Levi Johnston, who is a magnificent specimen of a human being. I mean, you have never in your life, and even he says...
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, well, he says there's something big. He says he's got a lot that's big on Sarah Palin. Now, listen to this magnificent specimen of a man as he discusses with some reporter here. I don't know who this is. Oh, it's the Early Show. Levi Johnston, he's talking to Maggie Rodriguez. He says that Sarah Palin would call her mentally disabled child a retard. He also makes the same claim in a Vanity Fair interview. Let's listen now to Levi
Thundercrack
Johnston.
Tell me some of the things that you revealed that you think people found surprising.
Yeah,
Sarah Palin.
I think the biggest hit we've had on like the Vanity Fair, you know, people really look on
what?
Is
what?
When she called her kid retarded.
What?
I mean, I've got a lot of people talking about that.
When would she say that?
She's coming home from work and, you know, she'd be like, where's my retarded baby, all this, and you know, this just wasn't right. I mean, I didn't ever step like say anything to her, but at the same time, we were all just kind of like.
Can you understand why that's really hard to believe?
Yep.
That a mother would say that.
Yep.
It is hard to believe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I couldn't tell you. I have no proof of showing you it's true, but you know, I know it is.
In the same article, he says,
"I am gay."
Here we have Levi saying he has a big secret about Sarah that he hasn't yet revealed.
I'm not really in it to hurt him now.
That's what it sounds like. Like somebody who's bent on revenge and getting even. Now it's my turn.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, I guess. But at the same time, if she's going to go out there and say stuff to me about me, I'm going to leak some things on her.
I'll bet you have.
That's just how it is.
Are you going to continue saying things? Could you say more that than you haven't said?
There are some things that I have that are huge, and I haven't said them because I'm not going to hurt her that way.
So you draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I have things that could, you know, that would get her in trouble and could hurt her, will hurt her, but I'm not going to go that far. If I really wanted to hurt her, I could very easily. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going that far.
So he says he's got some things he can leave.
Pee on me.
On her, and we'll find out whether he does or not, or whether he is as much of a blithering imbecile as he sounds, because you sound like a real jackass, Levi. And let me tell you something else. When a family is kidding around with you, see, I'm not a big Sarah Palin fan. You guys know that. I don't come on. I said, and I'll say it again because I have to say this, because everybody is pretending like, oh, yeah, Sarah Palin, I knew, and... Or when they were wrong about her, they all said, oh, well, she got smeared. No, she got smeared, yeah, but that's not what beat her. What beat her was her political stance, period, and we knew it was a wrong move, and we told you it was a wrong move, and it was a wrong move. However, having said all of that, it doesn't make her a bad person. And, you know, in families, you say stuff. Where's the little retarded kid? You see, you joke with each other, and here's this blithering moron who thinks that his big statement so far to the press has been...
Pee on me.
Now, here is Rodriguez pushing Levi to reveal some of his secrets, and he finally says, okay, I'll just unzip and...
Things that could get her in trouble as far as what?
Just things she has done while she was governor.
That are illegal?
Yeah, I'm just not even going to talk about them.
But are they illegal or immoral?
I'm not going to talk about them.
So why do you draw the line? Why are some things okay and yet others not okay?
You know, just
full of crap.
A lot of things I said weren't that huge. I mean, those are just little things I put in Vanity Fair. You know, all the big things I got, I'm keeping it in. And,
yeah, smart.
You know, it's just
it's smart,
something that probably will never come out.
Yeah, and then the little kid said,
F you.
Levi. Levi Johnston, folks, and he's going to be in Vanity Fair, and he was on the early show there with Maggie Rodriguez, and... I will tell you this, with all due respect, he obviously sounds like a dimbulb, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know anything. But if he says that she said, hey, where's the retarded kid, that's something I pass off right away as just the kind of lingo that we talk when we're in family time and we just give each other crap, and that's how that goes. So if anybody's going to bust down on her for that, you need a life, honest to God. Moving on, I don't think this guy would know if he was looking at it whether something was illegal or not. He's not bright enough.
Stuff she did as a governor.
Maybe he sat down with his friends at the Moosehead Lodge and he said, you know, I seen her do, and they said, oh, yeah, you better tell somebody. You don't know, man. Your whole trip, dude.
You?
Yeah. All right, so that's Levi Johnston. He also told Rodriguez he's been hearing a lot about his saying in a recent first-person tell-all that Palin referred to her baby Trig, who suffers from Down syndrome, as retarded. He says, I was in shock. Now, I guarantee you, if this gets out that it's true, that jackball that wrote that article for the Huffington Post that was supposed to be funny that nobody laughed at, and it was so unfunny that within 2 hours of posting it, Huff called in and said, you got to get it off of there. You got to get that thing out of there. He's making me look like an ass. He's making me look with all of that stuff like a
giant douche nozzle.
That's what Huff said. So they pulled that piece off, if you'll pardon the expression, and apologized for it. Now, if it comes out that she, in a joking way, the way families talk about each other, calls her kid a retard or retarded or whatever, I guess that comedy writer's back in business over there at the Huff. God.
Huff this. You know why they call it Huff? Because they huff.
That's funny.
Man, your timing's bad on that.
No, it isn't.
Okay, they call it the Huff because they huff. 877-876-PHIL. House version of healthcare bill to be unveiled with robust public option. Do we really want to talk about this? Oh, God almighty. And then we have the GOP at odds over support. I like this story because this is interesting. GOP at odds over support for New York House candidates. There's a candidate who's a pro-choice and pro-gay marriage Republican. Who has the support of, what the hell's her name, Bertha Lewis over there at Acorn. So it's blowing the minds of all these Republicans, left and right and center. They don't know what to make of it. They don't know what's going on with their party. I'll tell you what's going on with your party. It's falling apart. That's what's going on with your party. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico.
It's
you.
Phil Henry.
We got the GOP at odds over support for the New York House candidates. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Henry Show, the one you've heard so much about.
Not.
Well, and we're happy to be with you. And what?
Well, it's kind of 80s.
What is?
They're not.
No, it ain't 80s.
No?
It's 90s.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant.
Anyway, this Levi Johnson story, just to sort of wrap up, just to sort of sop it up, just to sort of put a mop on it and see if we can't get the stink out at the same time. This Levi Johnson story is a situation where you have this idiot who, for whatever reason, is angry, but he also sees an opportunity to make some money. Now, I just want to make this one point. This retard line about Sarah, you can think what you want about her, okay? Families will do that. Now, this guy decides that he wants to make a couple of dollars. He doesn't have jack squat on her. He wouldn't know what is illegal or unethical if you held his head against a furnace door and said, you got 2 seconds or we're throwing you in, man. He'd be like, oh, I've seen her do some. Well, what did you see her do? You know, some things. Like what? Well, it's got to be illegal. You know, I got stuff will bring her down as governor of Alaska. Just bring her down. Guess what, man? She ain't governor anymore. Oh, yeah? Yeah. So take your stuff and thank you. And also,
F-U.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Prominent Republicans like Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty and former Vice President candidate Sarah Palin are backing the GOP, are bucking the GOP to back a conservative candidate for a House seat in New York, opting to defend what they see as pure party ideology, even if it means helping a Democrat win. God, what a story. Now, let's get into this, and we have Newt Gingrich on a flashback piece of audio here, because Newt is supporting this candidate. Who is she? Her name is Didi Scosafava. Newt Gingrich is backing her. We talked about this, and we predicted this. We predicted this on the show, that the Republican Party was on its way to oblivion if they didn't make some radical changes, and one of the radical changes they had to make was separate themselves from the Palin wing of the party. Now, what do we got? Listen, Tim Pawlenty, Sarah Palin, former House Majority Leader Dick Armey, former Senator Fred Thompson, and others are supporting conservative nominee Doug Hoffman, not Republican nominee Deidre Scosafava, in Tuesday's special election in the rural, heavily Republican 23rd Congressional District in upstate New York. So the Republican candidate, you understand, is who? Her name is Deidre Scosafava. She is a pro-choice Republican. She's a pro-gay marriage Republican, but she's also a Second Amendment Republican. She's opposed to the health care reform bill. In other words, she is Republican and conservative, if you will, from the standpoint of what a traditional conservative is, but she is liberal on those social issues that traditionally Republicans never wanted to have anything to do with in the first place until Jerry Falwell got a key to the back door. Newt Gingrich defends his pick of Assemblyman Deidre Scosafava as other conservatives are supporting this guy, Hoffman.
He doesn't live in the district. Deidre Scosafava is...
He doesn't live in the district?
No, he lives outside the district. Deidre Scosafava is endorsed by the National Rifle Association for her Second Amendment position, has signed the no-tax increase pledge, voted against the Democratic governor's big spending budget, is against the cap-and-trade tax increase on energy, is against the Obama health plan, and will vote for John Boehner rather than Nancy Pelosi to be speaker. Now, that's adequately conservative in an upstate New York district. And on other issues, she's about where the former Republican McHugh was. So I say to my many conservative friends who've suddenly decided that whether they're from Minnesota or Alaska or Texas, they know more than the upstate New York Republicans. I don't think so.
So this is exactly what the Republicans need to do, see? This is exactly what they need to do, and they're doing it. And what's happening? You got it, baby. The Rush Limbaugh, Sarah Palin wing of their party has split, as we knew they would, as we knew they would. There was no keeping those people in that party. Now, the question is, how big is that conservative wing of that party? I'm sure when they look around each other and they're at a clam bake or at a you know, a coffee klatch, I bet you they think they're in Madison Square Garden, man. They must think they've got millions. You know, they must think that they just are the heart and the soul and the voice of the American people. Well, I have a little prediction for you. You guys have got a big rude awakening in store for you. Now, I don't know whether they're going to win this race or not, this Hoffman. What happened to that Fred Thompson audio, Jace? That we got the Fred Thompson commercial. He's supporting this guy. It's called Fred Thompson, or it's called, let me just double check because I want you guys to hear this. It's called Thompson, Fred Thompson on Hoffman. And he did a commercial for this guy, Hoffman. We'll listen to this, and then I'll give you the rest of the story. As poor old Paul Harvey used to say, I say poor old, he, you know, had a 10-year deal through his 90th birthday. It's too bad he didn't live to see the end of it.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to find the audio here. Well, we'll get to it here in a moment. But anyway, Skosafava spokesman Matt Burns said everybody who has endorsed Doug Hoffman has something in common with him, and that is that none of them live in the district. This is their big argument against him, and I suppose that that's the best argument to make because you don't want to scare too many people. There's a lot of Republicans who don't give a damn whether a candidate is pro-choice and pro-gay. A lot of Republicans don't care, but they don't want to come out and say it. And they don't want to hear anybody else come out and say it because it's already, you know, a tough thing to it's a tough thing to swallow, if you'll pardon the expression, for a lot of people. I'll get to it, man. You know what? I got to sit here and screw around with it, man. We should have moved it over when we had the time in the from the archived audio. Okay, the potential as we look at this thing, the potential for Owens to win while Hoffman and Skosafava split conservative votes. Owens is the Democrat. Worries former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who says a vote against Skosafava and other liberal leaning Republicans will ensure a Democratic majority for a long, long time. Understand what he's saying, old Newt, man? He's waking up. He's waking up, man. He's saying it ain't worth it to hold on to this. He's not saying this, but he's saying it in so many words. It ain't worth it to hold on to this religious right. It's killing us. It's destroying us. It's murdering us. And if you guys want to hang on to that jazz, then guess what? Hello, Democratic majority, for years and years and years to come. If you seek to be a perfect minority, you will remain a minority, Gingrich said in a written statement. That's not how Reagan built his revolution or how we won back the House in 1994, because he's got to prop himself every so, you know, because unless you forgot who he was. I was the guy that helped you. Do you remember when I said
F you?
I'm sorry. I went on to say conservative voters argue that Skosafava, state assemblywoman, is too liberal because of her support of abortion rights and same-sex marriage and her votes for higher spending on New York state budget. The backing of several possible 2012 presidential contenders has boosted Hoffman, and money from all of the country has been pouring into his campaign. Well, you know, this guy Hoffman may be a fiscal conservative. If he wants to be a viable candidate, then he has to jettison all this other jazz. He's got to jettison all of that other social conservatism because it ain't where the American people are. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we want to remind you again to go to our website if you'd like to watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of the show, or check out our affiliate page as well. We also have lots and lots of archives of downloadable prior shows, many generations of the Phil Hendry Show. We've got downloadable, well, it's not downloadable, but we have video on demand up to 5 days of our show, video casts. We have video on demand of a bunch of other projects that I did, including a TV pilots and animated clips, a bunch of animated clips with you, bud.
Yeah, they're pretty good, too.
So we can check those out at philhendryshow.com. And also, of course, as we mentioned, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. All right, coming up, Obama signs the hate crimes bill into law, and Robert Gibbs says donors don't receive White House perks. This is another chicken crap story about whether or not there's people going into the White House and sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom, and I don't know. And I didn't find that Fred Thompson audio anywhere, so, you know, I can't get to the end of this segment fast enough so I can find it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I didn't know the Adult Swim is located in Atlanta. Did you know that?
That's just the bitchinest channel that there ever was.
Yeah, Adult Swim is in Atlanta, and we're going to be in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. We're going to be, I said Atlanta, and I choked, which that's not necessarily bad. Maybe it is. Anyway, we're going to be in, we're going to be in Atlanta in a couple of weeks for the talk show boot camp, and we'll be on a panel. But anyway, one of the guys from Adult Swim said, you want to come by and take a look at how we do cartoons and everything? And I said, you going to give me a job? He goes, not really. I said, then no thanks. He said, okay. 877-876-FILM. House version of healthcare bill to be unveiled with robust public option. Senate bill with opt-out and all this stuff doesn't mean anything to the average person because either you like a healthcare bill or you don't. Hey, they're going to opt out here with the Senate bill. And the House version of the healthcare bill is going to be unveiled with the robust public option. I want to say the public option. And today, to this day, to this very day, as we speak today, in the month of October in 2009, I still got people saying to me the following, the government's taking over the healthcare industry, just like they're taking over everything else. I got to tell you something, man. My hat is off to you guys out there, and you know who you are, who spun the last 2 years of economic reality into a fairy tale, about unions and Marxist-Leninism and government takeovers. You guys did a bang-up job. And the scary thing to me, and it scares the living hell out of me, man, I mean, it scares me, you know, it's, I don't know. It's scary.
I'm not going to vote for health care reform that either stifles the economic recovery that we need to start creating jobs again, or that increases the debt, which is at a site right now for our country. And to me, the public option threatens both.
All right, that's Joe, that's Joe Lieberman. Thanks, Joe. You're a good guy. But when you talk about that is going to stifle the economic recovery. So on the one hand, we ain't gotten any economic recovery yet. And on the other hand, you don't want to stifle the economic recovery that you think might come, but maybe it won't because of a health care plan. Even Joe Lieberman, who is a pretty honest guy, he's a guy, he's an independent. How much more honest can you be? How more gutsy can you be being an independent in the United States Congress? I can't think of anything that takes more guts than to be an independent in the middle of that pigsty, right? But even poor Joe is talking on and on and on about stifling economic recovery into this and to that and to something else. While we look at $2.5 trillion a year, it's going to be approaching 20% of the GDP that people are spending on health care. And then I get a story here last week. Well, you know that the profits of the companies are 35th among 53. Oh, is that right? So they're not making as many zeros as the other guys. Well, my heart bleeds. Are you telling me that they're getting raped? Well, no. Okay, then just can it. They ain't making as much money as those guys that flip those square hamburgers? Well, I guess that's just life, you know? But to this day, this is the conversation, this is the way it's been spun, this is the way that it's been sold, and the people that are spinning it, the people that are selling it, I've had conversations with them, I've talked to them, and I have said to them all of the things that I've said to you guys over the years and the months, and I've said, listen, you know, here's how much this is costing us, here's how much the potential savings might be. Yes, it's a deficit over 10 years. I think it was mentioned and has actually been acknowledged by individuals that crafted the original 3200 that we're talking $289 billion over 10 years. So, yeah, there's going to be a deficit spending, and that means it's going to increase the debt. And, hey, but we're talking about getting the country ready for the next 100 years. No good. You know, these people, I love to hear them talk about how they don't want to pass the debt on to their grandkids. What do you want to pass on to your grandkids? Third world status for America? Is that you pass that on to them? You want to pass on to your grandkids third place behind Brazil and Russia? Because we just don't have the intelligence to knock $2.5 trillion off of the GDP, man. Or add it, I should say. So that was Joe. Here is Lieberman once again. He's weighing in. He's a good, like I said, he's a good guy, but he says he's not against all reform and he's not against the public option to make the health insurance companies happy. If that's what it's going to take. You know?
I've said all along that I support tougher regulation of insurance companies. I've said I support the removal of the antitrust exemption for insurance companies. Hey, when I was Attorney General of Connecticut, I sued the Connecticut insurance companies. So I'm for sensible regulation. Bottom line, no. I'm doing this because I think it's right, and I hope people will respect me for that.
And here is Senator, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. He told reporters he's not too worried about Lieberman.
I have the greatest confidence in Joe Lieberman's ability as a legislator, and he will work with us when this gets on the floor. And I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to do in the way of amendments, but Joe Lieberman is the least of Harry Reid's problems.
I'll tell you what Harry Reid's problem is. Harry Reid, you know that Harry, don't you? You're a nice guy too, but the fact is, Harry, you suck. You and Pelosi and any of those, that old school, that old guard, man, those cats that were yakking all through the Bush years, Barney, all of you guys, you need to take a back seat now, because you want to know what's carved this thing a new one. You want to know what butchered this Obama healthcare plan, six ways to sunset, man, was you. You, Pelosi, Frank, all of those people that when the American people see you, they want to pitch their guts up. I hate to say it, man, but when they see you, all they can see is a
giant douche nozzle.
That's all they see, man. They're looking at you, and they're looking at Nancy, and they look at all of the rest of that old core of liberal legislators, and it's, you know, maybe you're making perfect sense, man, but it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. So the first mistake that the president made was rolling your ass out to pitch it and sell it. The second mistake the president's making, and I've heard other people say this, and it's true. I don't know why it is, but he keeps pitching all these people in front of us that are these liberal ideologues that everybody hates. Hates! Even Democrats are embarrassed. This guy Grayson, I'm not blaming Obama for that. But, you know, he doesn't say anything, man. You know, if the cat wants the bipartisan kind of Congress, then he's got to say something about it. He's got to say, hey, Alan, shut your big fat mouth. I really thought he would do that. I really had hopes that he would do it. And he didn't. I really had high hopes that Obama would come to the table, because the candidate Obama, the guy that I heard, was making a lot of sense when he said, we got to get rid of all of this jazz. We got to get down to this. And, yeah, I'm sure there were a lot of people who thought, oh, I was smarter than that. I didn't vote for him because I knew he was Marxist-Leninist. He's not a Marxist-Leninist, okay? And you got to go into economics 101 with some of these people. Unfreaking believable. The unions did it. Did the unions do it, really, man? How did the unions ruin the real estate business? How did the unions cause the mortgage crisis? Here's their answer. Oh, well, that was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Countrywide? Bank of America. Every reputable lender on Wall Street. All over the world, and you think it's Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac, or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You think it's that, huh? And only that. It was, continues to be, and will be for the end of time, the lack of capability and competence on the part of these business leaders. That's what did it. A generation of bloodsuckers running our industry and our business in this country. The unions, my ass. You build a car. Let me explain something to you in case some of you guys don't understand this. We had unions and have had the UAW in Detroit for many, many years when Detroit was kicking ass and making a big-time profit. Well, they didn't make as much money then, and they didn't make as much money then, huh? Detroit was a boom town. It was a boom town in the 1950s and on into the 60s. And they had unions. But people don't understand this. They don't want to understand this, because it's easy to blame a union. It's easy to say the worker. The worker is the guy that goes on the line and he says, what do you want me to do? I want you to build this car. All right, I'll build a car, okay? If you can't sell it, you can't sell it. If you don't know how to make a car the American people want, okay, then you're not going to be able to sell that car. And yeah, you're going to have a financial problem. You're going to have all kinds of problems. You won't be able to meet your bonus, man. Forget about your unions. If you build a car people want to buy, I got a big news flash for you. People will buy it, and you won't give a damn what the union's making. Time after time after time, we saw examples. I've given them on this show over and over and over and over again of where Detroit did not see the big picture. We talked about how they killed Saturn. We talked about how they killed the EV. The very jackass that did it was a guy named Rick Wagner, the very man that when Obama sensibly said, you want our money? Yeah. Well, you got to fire that jackass. They all were running around Rick Wagner as if he was John the Baptist. One of the most incompetent, unbelievably incapable executives in the history of Detroit. A guy that killed an automobile called the Saturn that was doing 300,000, 400,000 units a month. He killed it. No. You know what he killed it for? Trucks. Now that's thinking. Boy, I want that guy on my team. Trucks. He said the EV. Forget it, man. I drove the EV. I test drove that thing back in 1997. You want to know how long this radio show has been talking about our reliance on oil? In 97, we were propping the EV. I wasn't getting any money from GM. They should have bought time on my show. We would have pitched it big time. Maybe there wouldn't be as big of a problem. Let's put it that way. I drove that car. It was fantastic, a phenomenal car. 0 to 60 in a second. And they would have improved it. Who killed it? Rick Wagner. What is his credential? A bean counter. This is not the union. This is not the government. This is the... Now, either you want to live with the truth or you don't. Either you want to accept what the reality is or you don't. You got crooks at Countrywide. You got an incompetent slob like this in Detroit. You've got these other guys at Chrysler. You got a... You know, it's hard for people to accept this because we want to believe that really, in the end, the greatest, purest, and most sacrosanct entity in America is business. It never screws up. It always makes the right decision. I've explained this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again. Sometimes when business sags, government has to pick up the slack, and vice versa, my brothers. When business is doing well, government can back the hell off. But it's never, ever just one or the other. It's never just one or the other. It's the yin and the yang, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you like yin-yang.
Yeah, yin-yang. Yin-yang this, man.
Giant douche nozzle.
All right, so in other news, just one other thing here before we just leave and throw up. In an apparent attempt to infuse the dry work of government with a dash of manly brio, Governor, whatever that means.
Ain't that a cheese?
I think so. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California recently issued a... Ain't that a cheese? Recently issued a veto statement that contained a message, and not a nice message, that some interpret as a put-down of the bill's author. No kidding. The message is hidden and can be seen only by reading the printed version of the veto statement. By taking the first letter of each line, beginning with the third line, two words emerge. The first is the... Oh, you gotta be kidding me, man. The first is F and the second is U. That's if you take the first letter of each line, beginning with the third line, two... What do you want to bet that the guy that figured that out is like that dude from... Who is that nut?
Oh, yeah, that beautiful, he's a beautiful nut or something.
Beautiful Nut. Wasn't that the movie?
No, man, Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind, that's it. Yeah, that guy, the guy that figured that one out, man, is about as sane as that cat. 877-876-PHIL is the number every night on the Phil Henry Show, as well as our website, philhenryshow.com. And we'll be back with the stories that we could not possibly get to tonight. We're going to get to them right after these messages. Oh, you know what? They're right. It does say F-U. It's right there. It says F. It's the first letter of each line of the second paragraph, and it's pretty bold, and it's not bold. I mean, you'd have to be looking for it. But by the same token, you don't even really have to be looking for it, because since it's the first letter of each line, it does kind of sort of, if you'll pardon the expression, stick out, you know?
Oh, yeah, I see it's spelled F-U-C.
Don't spell it, okay? And I know the first two letters are
F-U.
And you can imagine the rest. But you know what? And I'm going to say this, and maybe people won't like it. That guy, Ammiano, and I know Ammiano, is that his name, Ammiano, Damiano? He's a nice guy, and he's in favor of legalizing weed, and that's why we like him. And, you know, he was around when Harvey Milk was around. He's a good guy, but, I mean, scream and kiss my faggot ass at the governor of California is unbecoming a representative of the people of California, man.
Yeah, but it's unbecoming for the governor.
Well, maybe, but at that point, all bets are off now. And if you really want to get into it that way, if you want to start yelling at a guy, scream, you know, kiss my blankety blank ass, then you've just, you've sown the wind, my brother, huh? Here is Ammiano.
Kiss my faggot ass.
Hear that? So he said.
Kiss my faggot ass.
And so Arnold returned with.
F you.
And that's the way that swings. Stories we couldn't get to tonight. Colorado State University Pueblo students went the traditional route when it came to closing their 2000, or choosing rather, their two, clothing, no, no, choosing, their 2009 homecoming queen, Jasmine Wells, a sophomore English major, was crowned Saturday, elected queen over DeMarcus Taylor, a gay senior, and a 60-year-old Juanita Whitaker. Whitaker was found not guilty by reason of insanity, the 1989 shootings of three people in Denver, including a woman who died. News reports at the time said Whitaker claimed a computer chip that her ex-husband implanted in her brain was to blame for the shootings. Whitaker says she's changed and that this is her second chance in life. She says she now works to help the disabled and mentally ill. I just wonder if gay people recognize when they're being made fun of. That's all, you know. You may think that you're like, hey, empower. Oh, DeMarcus, that's a chick or a guy?
It'd be a chick.
Never mind. No, I think it's a guy. And Belgium's Brussels, in Brussels, Belgium, which is the country? It's Belgium. In Brussels, Belgium, police say a one-legged suspect was caught after only one shoe went missing in a store in Belgium. That makes sense. An amputee, if you only find one shoe, it must mean the guy's got one leg. He couldn't possibly have just lost one shoe. An amputee was an immediate suspect when a store attendant found one shoe missing from a shop in the western Belgian town of Maldegem. Police spokesman Rick Dackermer said on Monday authorities were alerted and quickly found the man who fit the description by shopkeepers. The shoe was also recovered. The suspect, a Russian asylum seeker, faces possible charges and was handed over to the judicial authorities so they could ship his ass back to Russia. Sorry. Sorry, sir. They've already got their limit of one-legged people in Belgium, so. A bust of Russia's muscle-flexing strongman Vladimir Putin, you know who he is being created as a gift for ex-Hollywood bodybuilder and California's current governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay. Sculptor said the bust is currently being made in Putin's home city of St. Petersburg on an order of Russia's Bodybuilding and Fitness Federation and will be delivered to the movie star turned politician in March. Well, isn't that nice? So you'll have a nice little picture there of... In 1991, the Russian artist made a sculpture of Schwarzenegger, and Vladimir Dubinin, the president of the Bodybuilding Federation, personally delivered the gift. The two, it's a bunch of guys that oil up for a living, and they're giving each other gifts. In Providence, Rhode Island, health officials are investigating how a surgeon at Rhode Island Hospital mistakenly operated on the wrong part of a patient's hand, the hospital's fifth wrong-site surgery since 2007. Hospital spokesman Timothy Babineau said in a letter that the mistake Thursday happened on a patient scheduled for surgery on two fingers. A joint on one finger underwent a procedure meant for another. Well, you know, and that's pre-Obama health care. That's the health care that we got today. See, people don't get that. They just, it goes right over their heads, you know. I don't want Obamacare. No, what I want is to wake up with my hand missing. Babineau said the surgery was then performed on the correct finger and the patient was discharged. Oh, I see. They corrected the problem. The hospital has not released the names of the patient or the surgeon involved. Hospital officials are investigating what went wrong. As is the State Department of Health. Rhode Island Hospital was fined $50,000 after brain surgeons operated on the wrong side of a patient's head in three separate cases in 2007, removing the brain and putting in the brain of a criminal. And then the man went on a rampage and threw a little kid in a pond and, you know. A Philadelphia woman was arrested on Tuesday after she allegedly posted an ad on Craigslist offering to perform sex acts in exchange for World Series tickets. What's wrong with that? Susan Finkelstein... Anyway, Susan, that's her name. Susan Finkelstein was charged with prostitution. She can't possibly be sexy with a name like... She can't possibly have large breasts with a name like Finkelstein. She was... she was charged with prostitution and related offenses after police say she advertised herself as a buxom blonde diehard Phillies fan, and then she showed up and she was as ugly as sin. Anyway, no. She advertised this, and they found it out, and she said she'd have sex if she could get the tickets. I'm the creative type. Maybe we can help each other, authorities say. Finkelstein's online ad read she described herself as gorgeous and said her price was negotiable. Finkelstein was busted when authorities say an undercover officer responded to the Craigslist posting, had sex with her, found out it was lousy, and said, I ain't giving you the tickets. You're under arrest.
Really?
No, not really. God. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from the El Pacifico.
www.philhenryshow.com for if you want to hear more from this.
Giant douche nozzle.
Okay.
Phil Henry.